Hello, God bless you. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah, praise God. I'm going to see if she'll go out with me. Amen. That was my wife, and I'm proud of her. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? One thing, now, I love all of you, and it's so good to see all of you, but to tell you the truth, I came here in anticipation of the presence of God. Amen. How about you tonight? Praise God. Wanted to minister tonight on a topic concerning the Word of God. Usually my wife will say, what you preaching on tonight or today or whenever? The Word, the Bible, you know, something like that. But actually, I want to talk about the Word of God and its importance in our life tonight. And it's important for us to speak the Word. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Speak the Word. We got to be careful of the words that we speak tonight. Pastor Barb, thank you for the opportunity once again to be up here. And this church is blessed. I don't know if you know it, but this church is blessed to have such a diversity of ministries that God has brought here from corners of the nation, even the world. And God has blessed this church with so many different ministries and diversities of ministries. And we are so blessed to have that tonight. But speaking of the Word and watching our words, how many know that many times we say words that aren't necessary and wish we could have taken them back? Sometimes I tell true stories. Other times I tell stories that aren't true. And I'll let you decide which one this one is. All right. A bird got a late start in flying south for the winter. Somewhere around Kansas, he froze and fell into a cow pasture. He thought, what a terrible way to die. And as he lay on the ground, a cow came by and deposited a large pile of cow manure on him. He couldn't believe that it could get any worse. But then he started to warm up. I'll let you figure that one out, how that happened, and realized if he was close to being able to move again, and he began to sing. And along came a fox and dug him up, and he ate him. Wow. Three keys to life. And if you get these, everything else is just extra gravy. Number one, not everyone who dumps on you is your enemy. Number two, not everyone who digs you out of trouble is your friend. And number three, but when you're going through stuff in life, most of the time it just pays to keep your mouth shut. In other words, we got to be careful of the words that come out of our mouth. Amen. Can you say amen to that? After that, Heavenly Father, we ask you that you will anoint this message tonight. Lord, I did not come to be heard, but I came to bring forth your word as you have given it to me. Thank you, Lord, for the different ministries of this place. Thank you for the anointing that we feel here every single service because of the spirit of liberty that we feel. And we give you all the glory for the word that we receive tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts the 19th chapter tonight. I was trying to figure out a title. And the best I could come up with, and I might change it midstream here. But the best I could come up with is the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Taken from Acts the 19th chapter. As we look at this portion of Scripture, it's based in the city of Ephesus. And Ephesus back in those days was a very occultic city. if we were trying to figure out what it would be like here in America, perhaps someplace like San Francisco that's known for its occultic behavior and everything going on. But truth be told, there's a lot of cities in America that are giving San Francisco a run for its money in the day that we live in. But Ephesus was a very occultic city. But we find here in Acts the 19th chapter, in 20 short verses that we're going to touch on tonight, you've got everything going on. You've got tough situations. You've got adverse circumstances. You've got warfare taking place. Whenever the Spirit of God is, wherever the Word of God is, there's going to be a warfare taking place. Amen? You're going to have warfare. You're going to have things taking place that you are amazed at. But there was preaching taking place. There was baptizing. Of course, you're going to have warfare after that. You have people being filled with the Holy Ghost. You have prophecy taking place. You have devils getting cast out. You have the practice of the occultic magic and books burning. You have spirits jumping out and beating people up. And you have Jesus being magnified, and the Word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Hallelujah. When we take a look at just those 20 verses, and we'll touch on them here in just a moment, I can look at verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And I read that, and I thought, okay, what's an unusual miracle? If you would have just said, and God worked miracles by the hands of Paul, I would have thought, wow, that's awesome. But specifically, it says God worked unusual miracles. What in the world could be better than a miracle? To have an unusual miracle? I'm so filled with word tonight and thoughts running through my head, because as I read this, and I was on the computer today, and I jumped on there and I saw some old preaching tapes or services from the late 80s, early 90s down in Lakeland, Florida, where there was a great move of God that took place. And I saw one of the times where the minister, I think it was Rodney Howard Brown, he just asked the guy to tell of what God was doing in his life, or what God had just done in his life. And he took the microphone, he handed it to the guy like that. He's held it, and the guy just stood there, and he tried to say something for about 10 minutes. And he would start and say, well, it was, and he would stop, and then but there was silence for 2 or 3 minutes. And he says, yeah, well, this, and he stopped again. And you could tell what was taking place was there was just an awesome outpouring of the Holy Ghost working in that man's life right then. Well, he couldn't even speak and tell about it. Now, I know there's things that took place in so many of these different revivals that we may have question marks about, and perhaps that we have question marks about them because of something unusual that we had never heard of before. Could that perhaps be the unusual miracles that was being talked about here in Acts? Where things, they saw miracles, well, okay, blind eyes being opened, perhaps legs being lengthened. Okay, we've seen that before in our miracles. What could be greater than an unusual miracle? Where does that one go? We've got to understand in the day and hour that we live in, because I believe that we will see the unusual take place. It's got to be something that ignites and turns to fire the body of Christ to say, wow, we've never seen that. That is God. Because there are some in our midst that are narcissistic, I think that's the right word, in what they're seeing, but they've got to see more. God's got to show them something even greater. And so we see here, I got to get going. I stopped at one verse here. Verse verse 12, handkerchiefs and aprons. We know that scripture through our working with the Spirit of God in our services even. Verse 13, this is where we get into the sons of Sceva. And verse 14, seven sons of Sceva. Verse 15, evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Verse 16, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. My translation says they got their butt whooped. They got a beat down. Verse 17 then says also, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. This incident of the sons of Sceva impressed the people with the reality that there, of the demonic realm that they were facing. It made them fear not only God, but it made them fear, have an understanding of the demonic realm also. Because you got to understand, Ephesus was a stronghold of Satan. Many evil things, both superstitious and satanic, were practiced in that day. Books containing formula for sorcery and other ungodly and forbidden arts were plentiful in that city. Then we find here in verse 18, then many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. And many who had believed came and confessing and telling their deeds. Because apparently before the Sons of Sceva incident, many believers did not know that they were involved in the demonic. They saw their actions in a far more innocent light until they knew the reality of the demonic activity. Did you hear what I just said? They didn't realize the things that they're acting in or being a part of as being something demonic, and they just thought they thought of it very lightly. In the day and hour that we live, we need to beware. We need to beware of the demonic activity that comes across as lightly. Parents, you need to beware. There's a lot of I could step on a lot of toes tonight. Maybe I'll only step on one or two dozen. But there's things that even Christian households have allowed into their households to, because everybody's child at school is doing that. Every one of these children have a book by this witch or that witch. I won't have to go. I don't think I have to go any farther on that one. Or everybody's daughter at school has the latest CD from somebody who, and half of those songs on that new CD blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Hello. It's important for us to beware, because the people in Ephesus came to the understanding through these things that were taking place that there was a reality of demonic warfare taking place right underneath their nose. Many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in their sight. They also brought their long play record albums that they had. I don't know if you're old enough, but I remember when we had these evangelistic preachers coming through, and their thing was, God impressed upon them to speak against the rock and roll music of the time. Anybody remember that?
I was that guy.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say, the guy that came through our church was there four times. I was smart, and now only went, so I'm three times. And it says here that the value was anywhere from $1 million to $5 million in today's dollars. That they threw the books in and we threw the records in, and as the service ended on Saturday night, Sunday night, then by Tuesday we were at the record shop again. Yeah, that's why it cost us so much money. And maybe we had to work the next year when he came back. All I know is that in the day and hour that they were living in Ephesus, there were a group of people that knew what the Spirit of God was all about. In Acts, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, it's a King James version. It says this: "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass certain Christians." I think we need to understand that in the day and hour that we're living in, that God is looking for certain Christians. God is looking for certain Christians upon the church. Unfortunately, there are too many churches that are no threat to the enemy's plan in the day and hour that we're living in. But I'm absolutely positive that Faith Builders is not going to be a non-threat. And it won't raise up a group of people who are non-threats. I believe that we're already labeled as certain Christians. Turn to somebody and say, "Are you one of them?" Faith Builders, I believe, is raising up certain Christians that are a threat to the enemy's plans. I'm absolutely positive tonight that the demonic forces and spirits that have gone back unto the enemy, unto Satan, they've gone back and said, "I would have crushed them. I would have destroyed them, except one of those certain Christians." Hallelujah. Except one of those certain Christians showed up. And because they were there, I couldn't ruin that family. I couldn't ruin that business. I couldn't ruin that school. I couldn't ruin that city. I couldn't deceive that teenager or destroy that single man or that single mother. They've been praying too much. They've been speaking the word too much. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, what do you think about all these wars and rumors of wars that are taking place in the world today? All these demonstrations, all this chaos in the streets, all the schools, all the colleges in turmoil, etc., etc., etc." All I have to say today as a messenger of God is that the word is going to prevail and Jesus will be magnified. The word is going to prevail and Jesus will be magnified. The word has broken down governments. The word has set captives free. The word has delivered the bound and the oppressed. The word has shut the mouth of lions. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will remain. Can you stand and say that today? Amen. Hallelujah. The enemy is not after your house. He's not after your job. He's not after your home. He's not after your wife. He's not after your kids. He's not after anything else, but he's after the word that is in you. The enemy has said, "You're going to die." But the word says, "You shall live and declare the works of the Lord." The enemy has said, "You're going to be ill and you're going to be sick." But the word says, "I am the God that heals thee." And we could go on and on about that. But I find in Scripture, I found this I found this out by reading it someplace else, that over 100 times in the Word of God, the Bible says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Jesus says, verily I tell you. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you. 25 times in John, he says that alone. Truly, truly, I tell you. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. We've got to come to the understanding that we need to speak the Word every single day of our life. I found this to be true today, that if you work the Word will work for you. If you work the Word will work for you. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter tonight. I'm going to take very quickly this story about Mary. We find here in Luke, the first chapter, in the 28th verse, it says, the angel says, you are highly favored. You are not alone. You are blessed. You are highly favored. You are not alone. And you are blessed. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. You are highly favored. You are not alone. And you are blessed. The problem is that we've got to stop disagreeing with God, what God says about us. Jesus said, I will never leave you. You're not alone. The angel of the Lord encamps around you. You're not alone. In Psalm, the 23rd chapter, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy follows you. You're not alone. Seeing you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, someone say, you're not alone. You're part of the family of God. You're not alone. You're part of the body of Christ. You're not alone. Stop saying that you're alone. When you're going through things in life, stop saying what the enemy wants you to say and start saying what God has said about you. Amen. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead does what? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead does what? Dwells in you. You're not alone. Hallelujah. The Bible says it is Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. You're not alone. You've got to get to the place where you understand what the Word says and continue to say the Word day after day after day. Because if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and surely goodness and mercy follows you, and the angel of the Lord encamps around you, and I will never leave you. And seeing we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you're not alone. In other words, when you go to church, you got to get a bigger build. You got to get a bigger vehicle. Hallelujah. Just to get to church, because you're not alone. We find Luke, the 29th chapter, or 29th verse. The Bible says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Troubled. Not all of God's words to you and I are going to make you feel good. Sometimes you can't figure it out. Hello? Sometimes you and I can't figure it out. Then we go on. I'm trying to go faster. Then Mary said to the angel, verse 34, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I have a how. God has a what. I always have a how. How is this going to take place, God? I'm talking tonight about getting the Word of God in us every single day. Speaking the Word. Speaking the Word every single day over our life. God says, I'll take care of you. And we say, how? God says, I'll make a way. And we say, how? God gives his promise. God gives us a promise, and we're always looking for details. His response is simply this: I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the one who knows the need even before the need arises. Verse 35 says this: And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. In other words, if God did it for someone else, He can do it for you. If God did it for someone else, He can do it for you. Verse 37, for with God, what? Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I like what someone did. They put the word impossible up there, and then they put Him. They just put the H in front of the impossible. And what does it mean? Impossible. I love that. Because you got to understand that we serve a God that can put a seed in a virgin womb. We serve a God that can allow Peter to walk on water. We serve a God that can protect three Hebrew boys in a fiery furnace. We serve a God that can shut the mouth of hungry lions. We serve a God that can equip a teenage boy to slay a giant trained warrior. We serve a God. There is nothing that my God can't do. Can you say amen? How many remember that old song? Nothing, nothing. Verse 38. Then Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. That word there is a rhema word. It's a word that we use to draw the sword on. A distinctive word that the believer wields in time of need. How many of you have ever heard the doctor's report or heard somebody's report, and all of a sudden something rose up in you and says, the word says. The word says. You draw that sword out and say, and this is for right now. This is for right now. Would every single one of us have a testimony of times that we have taken the word and says, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It doesn't matter what this circumstance is. I hear what you're saying, but the Word of God says, hallelujah. The promise means nothing until I say, Lord, let it happen to me. That's why Mary had to say that. The promise means nothing until you say, Lord, let it happen to me. Because the problem isn't in the giving, it's in the receiving. It must be interacted with. It must be received. It must be believed. It must be embraced. You can't believe or hear that He's Jehovah Jireh and speak something else. You can't believe or hear that He's your Jehovah Shalom and speak something else. Sometimes we hear the Word of God here in this house. Some of us, by the time we're already out the gate, we're already saying something different. How many know that won't work in your spiritual life? That won't work in your victorious life. You've got to speak what the Word says in your life. I know this sounds simple tonight, But if it was simple, as we think it is, we wouldn't be so defeated as many times as we have. You can't believe or hear that he is Jehovah Jireh and speak something else. You know something, that's why when the children of Israel were marching around the walls of Jericho, he told the people, shh. That's what he told them. How many remember what happened the first time the children of Israel went to the line of demarcation between where they were in the wilderness and the promised land? What took place? They had a discussion. They had an investigation took place. They sent spies into the land. 10 spies said, not going to happen. You ought to see how big those giants are. 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, says, yeah, those giants, they're large, but you ought to see those grapes. But because of the unbelief of the 10, that infection went from 10 people not believing to millions of people. And they took 40 years of laps around the mountain until they got to that place again. And so the next time that they got to that place of crossing over or not, God says, okay, this time when you begin to walk around the walls of Jericho, here's what you do. Shh, don't say a word. Don't say a word. He didn't tell them how many times that they were going to walk around. He just said, when you walk around, don't say a word. They had no idea that it was only going to be 7 days. But that time, they trusted God. They trusted God's word to them. We need to trust God's word, no matter if we know the end result or not. They didn't know how long they were going to walk around those walls of Jericho. All they knew was that Joshua told them, God has told me that when we walk around the wall, we keep our mouth shut. So they walked around the wall first 6 days, one time. And they got done at night and they went back to their camp. For some reason, I just got it. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. But I don't believe that they were allowed to speak negatively at nighttime when they gathered in their camps. I just don't believe that they were allowed to do that. You know, you don't walk, you don't obey in the daytime, and then you go back at night and you've, well, what are we doing that for? Wine.
My feet are hurting. Did you see the way they were looking at us up on the wall there?
Shh. Keep quiet. Don't speak. Now, when you're marching around your walls, shh. When you go back home at night, get into God's word. So when you get up in the morning and you go to work and you still can't see it, you're still not sure about it, here's what you do. Shh. You just march. You just march. Even if you don't feel favored, even if you don't feel blessed, even if you don't feel this way or that way, if you're still feeling bitter, if you're still feeling alone, if you're still feeling angry, here's what you do. Shh, and you march. And so if you've gone all week long and you're able to keep your mouth shut, you get back here on Sunday and you get some more word in you. Hello? You get some more word in you. And you shout and you praise God because you know He's worthy. I remember a song that we used to sing, "Don't wait until the battle is over. Shout now." In fact, you keep quiet in public until when you open your mouth, you're saying what God says. Hallelujah. They walked around those walls for 6 days, and that seventh day, we know by Scripture that they walked around that thing seven times. And all of us, they didn't know if they were going to have to walk around eight times or nine. Then all of a sudden, after the seventh time, Joshua said, "Shout!" We oftentimes don't know how long we're going to have to walk around the walls that we face of life. We often don't know how long we're going to have to walk in what we're walking through. But if you can't speak the word, keep your mouth shut. Until you're able to say what God says about you. And of course, that seventh time when they shouted, the walls came down. You keep quiet in public until when you open your mouth, you're saying what God says. Why? Because the Word of God says, by your words, you are justified. By your words, you are what? Condemned. There's life in your words. There's also death in your words. There's blessing in your words. And there is also cursing in your words. But if you speak the Word of God, and then a verse says there in verse 38, the second part of it, and the angel of the Lord departed from her. And the angel departed. Here's the tough part. If the word remains, everything and everyone else can go. Just follow me for a moment. If the word remains, everything and everyone can go. Why? Because the miracle is in the word. The miracle is in the word. There may, and there probably will, come a time when the people who have always prayed you through can't pray you through this time. If they've always been there, I can guarantee you, you're on your way to a circumstance that they can't pray you through. I've been there. I've always been able to go to this friend and that friend. But there have been times when I've faced something and they weren't there. They weren't there. Why? Because somewhere in your life, God wants you to trust the word and not your fabulous four. I know that's a tough one. Because there are so many people that we depend on in life. And I mean, I thank God for our prayer teams. I thank God for the men's prayer on Sunday mornings. And I thank God for the women's prayer on Monday evenings. And those things are vital and they're necessary. But there's going to come times in our life where the miracle isn't in our fabulous four. It's in the Word. And we've got to depend on the word that we have and not those ones that we've been able to trust in from time to time. Sister or brother so-and-so can't be reached. I've been those times. I remember those times when I was at the hospital and of course, that was back when you didn't have cell phones. You had pay phones. Oh, how did we live? But here's the point. God does not want you dependent on the messenger. Hear me today. Hear what I'm saying and not what I'm saying. Now, not what I'm not saying. If Faith Builders is built on your dependence on what pastor can do for you, then God's going to be upset with the pastor. Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? If Faith Builders is built on your dependence on what pastor can do for you, then God is going to be upset with the pastor because she is here to build, instruct, grow, mature, even correct you and I, to get the word in you enough so that if the messenger is gone, you've got enough word in you to prophesy over your own life. Did you hear what I said and not what I didn't say? Thank God for the leadership that we have here in this place. As I was reading that the unusual miracles, I got to back up. And I was reading the account, and the ones who know your Bible know that in Ephesus at this time, Paul was there for about two years and 3 months, something like that. And there was something that was awesome that was taking place. He was not only an apostolic missionary, but at that time in his life, he was fulfilling the role of the apostolic covering. And I believe that Faith Builders right now is going through a time where we have an apostolic covering in this place. There's something that's taking place in this place that it is because there's an apostolic covering. Hallelujah. I thank God for how this church is set up. And as I was thinking about it and praying about it today and just meditating, I know the Spirit of God was just telling me to tell us, remind us, also to remind Pastor, and you know this, you've heard this many times, that God is pleased with the honor that you give to the apostle of this place. And that's not some deep thing, because we know that. We're all mature enough to understand the honor that is given. And it's because the pastor of this house honors leadership. And I just heard the Lord just talking with me about it, and of course you've heard this many times before, but it's just a reminder to you that God is going to bring favor into your ministry. He's going to elevate and expand your ministry. There's going to be doors opening up. I'm sure there's so many people that have spoken that word over Pastor Barb so many times because of the favor and the honor that she gives those in leadership over her. Amen. Not only is mom and dad, okay, they're mom and dad. I know what I'm talking about. I had a dad and mom who were my covering and my pastors for decades. And the last 4 years of my father's life, from 2011 to 2015, I lived and breathed, Lori and I lived and breathed to honor my mother and father, who were the founders of the church. And I wouldn't trade those 4 years for nothing in the world. And every day of my life since they've been gone, I have felt the pleasure or the God saying, "Well done, son," because I honored them. And I know that's what she's feeling in this time right now. I don't know how I got on that. But I know that there's an apostolic anointing in this place, and it's going to take faith builders to another level. How many are in agreement with me on that tonight? So how'd I get there? So she's here to build, instruct, grow, mature, even correct us. To get the word in us enough. So if the messenger isn't here, we know how to prophesy over our own lives. Amen? Because if you work the word will work for you. And the miracle is in the word. God is in you and I so that his word will work in us. Can you say amen to that tonight? It's important for us to understand the importance of the word and how it works in our life. So that's what the Lord has given unto me to share with us tonight. But on the other hand, there's more that God wants to do in this place tonight, and perhaps even on the internet. You may be on the internet tonight, or perhaps you're here, and you say, I haven't valued the word of God like I should. I haven't taken it as my daily bread. And there's something missing in my life because I haven't been living a word-filled life. You may have heard what the Spirit of God has been saying, and you may feel tired of feeling all alone. And nothing seems to give you peace or satisfaction. You feel a void that just seemingly just can't be filled. I felt that before. And until I made a decision to surrender and give God my life, I knew that there would always be an emptiness in my life. Until I decided to get into his word and fill my life with his word, there was an emptiness that wasn't being filled. Perhaps I'm saying to somebody tonight that Jesus wants to fill that void. You've said yes to all the wrong things in life. But Jesus is still waiting. Jesus is still waiting for you to say yes to him. Standing there. You may think, well, no one's got the story that I have. No one's got the testimony. No one's got the experience of life that I have. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is still standing there. Jesus is still standing there waiting for you to say yes. Because when you say yes to Jesus, he will fill your heart with his love and his peace. He will wipe away every sin, every shame that's left you empty and broken. I remember the story of Jerry Lee Lewis, who was the great entertainer for so many years. He was actually a cousin of Jimmy Swaggart's. Jimmy Swaggart went one way, Jerry Lee Lewis went another. The chronicles of Jerry Lee Lewis's life are epic in its sinfulness. He died just recently. And just before he died, he says to the ones that were there, he says, I want you to know that I know where I've been. I know where I am now. And I know where I'm going. The point is, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. There's still time. I was thinking about the parable of the vineyard workers, where the master of the field says to someone at 6 o'clock in the morning, would you work in my field if I paid you this? If I paid you a dollar? And they says, yes, all right. 9 o'clock came around and he said to someone else, would you work in my field if I paid you a dollar? Yes. 12 o'clock, someone came along. They said, yes. 3 o'clock came along, said, yes, I'll do it. 5 o'clock came along. Those guys that came at 5 o'clock, 1 hour before the end, he says, will you work in my field for a dollar? And he says, absolutely. The guys who started at 6 o'clock in the morning, they couldn't figure out, well, why are we getting paid the same? And the manager of the field says, you accepted my price and you said yes. What's it to you if someone comes along right before the end and says yes? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God brings us all together? And he offers us the very same thing, and that is eternal life. So it doesn't matter if you lived your whole life out in the world. If you're hearing my voice tonight, he's just waiting for you to say yes. Perhaps there's someone here tonight that, or online that, You haven't lived your life. You accepted Christ, but you haven't lived your life. And you know it's not been pleasing. And you miss the intimacy of a loving Father. He's waiting right here. And all you have to do is say yes. Stand with me tonight. Whether you're on the internet tonight or in this house, he's waiting for you to say yes. We've taken a look at the Word of God tonight and found out that it never changes. It's always geared toward love. God never fails. He says, you are not alone. You're favored and you're blessed. It doesn't matter what you've done. I declare that you're blessed and you're favored and you'll never be alone again. If there's someone here tonight, or if there's someone on the internet tonight, and you're tired of feeling lonely, you're tired of what sin has offered you but couldn't deliver, and all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Very quickly tonight, as time is passing, is there someone here today would say, I want to come home, with the upraised hand? If you're on the internet tonight, all you have to say is, Jesus, I want to come home. I want to come home. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, there's people that are hurting. They have entrusted you. But you're standing there with, waiting for them to say yes. Life hasn't been fair. They've been deceived. But yet you're still standing there waiting for their yes. Come home, come home. You are our weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling. Oh, sinner, come home. I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you're reaching people's hearts and lives tonight to come home. I thank you, Jesus, for your word. We receive it in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. If there's anyone that is in need of prayer tonight, whether it be for healing, perhaps in your household, as we take just the last few moments, come on forward to the altar here. And our prayer warriors, our people of prayer, will be able to gather around you and pray for you and lift you up. Is there something that you're facing? I wish I would keep my mouth shut and only speak the words. I have a habit of speaking the words that I shouldn't speak. I have a habit of not believing your word, God. And I continue to shoot myself in the foot sometimes because I know what God's word says, but I have a hard time walking it out. If you're here tonight and you want prayer for strength, for encouragement, perhaps there's heartache in this place today. I've run into a couple people already this week that my heart broke because of the stories I heard. As we wait here for just a moment more, if there's anyone else who needs prayer in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, your word says that your word will never return void. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the word has been heard and it will produce fruit. I thank you for this people, Lord, that believe your word, trust your word, stand on it. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for strength. I thank you for victory. I thank you for that your word works. One thing above all things is that in the midst of everything taking place in life today, the word of God grew mightily and prevails. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. We will see you on Sunday. Amen. Come to the house of God expecting to shout and praise God. Amen. God bless you.